Now, open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We are continuing a lesson called How to Say No to That Stubborn Sin Habit. We all have that sin or that weakness where we seem to always give in to temptation. You know, we always have that one area that we're weaker in. And everybody's different. You know, I think that also changes with age as well. But we've all got that one sin that we just have so much trouble with. And so this series is basically how to overcome those sins, or how to get the victory over those things. And certainly we know the only way we're going to get the victory is God give us the victory. Amen. Our biggest problem is we always try to handle things on our own, in our own power, and we think that we're big enough to overcome it. Listen, we're not strong enough to even stand up against the temptation, let alone to overcome it. And so that I think our biggest problem, again, like you've heard me say before, our biggest enemy is ourselves. You know, if we would just put the pride aside and let the Lord do the work and trust Him to take care of things, we would get victory a whole lot more. Now, last week we saw that God will give us victory over those sins that we have problems with. And when we looked at it, we saw some basic ground rules. And those basic ground rules or we must believe that God is good. We learned that last week. We must also take responsibility for our sins. One of the biggest problems we have in this country is nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. But if you're going to get victory over sins, you got to take responsibility for it. In other words, you got to own up to it. You got to say, it's my fault that I messed up. Can't be blaming somebody else. People have been doing that for over 6,000 years now. People have been blaming other people. But we need to take responsibility for our sins. And then also, you got to believe that deliverance is possible. You just got to believe that the Lord will give you the victory. If you don't believe the Lord will give you the victory, you're probably never going to get the victory over that whatever that sin is. And so we got to stick with those ground rules. Now, this week we're going to look at the third part of this lesson, and that's called putting your past behind you. You know, the problem is we sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. You know, the truth of the matter is we know that we've all sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. We know that there's none righteous, no, not one. And I think that many times we hold ourselves up too high, and we think more of ourselves than what we ought to think. But at the same time, you can also go too far the other way and be too hard on yourself. Amen? You know, the problem is it seems like we live in a world of extremes. You know, you have the extreme left, you have the extreme right. You know, and sometimes you go so far to the left, you're so scared to go too far to the left that you become too far to the right. You know, and some people are so scared of being too far to the right that they can start to go left. I had a preacher tell me years ago, he goes, you know what, don't ever get too far on either side, just walk down the middle and do exactly what the Word of God tells you to do. Amen? And that's what we need to do. Now, the problem is that there are a lot of people today who have a problem putting their past behind them, and certainly this is an area that we all have troubles in. And I want to make it perfectly clear here now that there's a difference between conviction and guilt. There is a difference between conviction and guilt. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit of God. That's where conviction comes from. Today, I have no doubts that everybody in here has convictions. There are certain ways that you feel that is, you know, you have conviction about certain things. And certainly whenever you're hearing preaching or you're reading the Word of God, there are some times that you just feel like the Lord is convicting your heart over something that you did. Now, I'm just going to tell you that whenever you feel conviction from the Holy Spirit of God, do you know what you need to do? Do what He tells you to do. Take care of it. Problem is, we'll get convicted in church when somebody's preaching, or we'll get convicted when we're reading our Bible, and we won't do anything about it. We'll put it off. You know, there are people today that's been convicted about being saved and they've never been saved before. They put it off. They say, almost thou has convinced me to be a Christian. They put it off. Maybe tomorrow I'll get saved. And you know what? There are a lot of people today in hell today because they kept on putting off what they knew they should have done. There are Christians today that are harboring sins and doing things they ought not do and continuing to sin, and they know that they're wrong. They're being convicted about it, but they won't get right. That's a conviction. However, guilt is something totally different. Guilt does not come from the Holy Spirit of God. Guilt comes from the devil. That's where guilt comes from. And it's used to get us to focus on the sins that we've already committed in the past that we've already been forgiven of. How many, you know, I'm not going to tell you to raise your hands, but I want you to think about this. How many of you this morning have a guilt about a sin that you've already confessed to God? Amen? We all do. Who do you think that's coming from? It's not coming from the Lord. Why? The Lord's already forgiven you of it. Amen? Problem is you got to let it go. But we have a hard time with that. And we've all fallen to the point where we've sinned at some point. So if we've been saved, we all have. And I pray today there's no one still living in sin in this room. And if you are, you need to get right. But at the same time, if you've already confessed it, there's no reason to have guilt over it. Now, have you noticed that before you fell in sin, that Satan told you that sin doesn't really matter? In other words, you can do this and get away with it. It's not a big deal. But then after you fell in that sin, how he showed you how hopeless that you were? That's because he's a father of lies. He's the father of lies. And, you know, these are both lies. And they're coming from the father of lies. One sin does matter. Even one time, it does matter. You know, if you say, well, this one time won't hurt. Yes, it will hurt. How many of you know that sin leads to sin? Amen. You know, if you don't believe that, you need to listen to kids, because a kid will lie, and then after he lies, he'll lie to cover that lie, and then on and on and on. Sin leads to sin. So even one sin does matter. It does matter. But certainly, if you do sin, there is hope for you, regardless of what the devil says. Now, the devil still throws this in our face, and we fall for it, and then we end up being guilty. Or feeling guilt over our sins. Now in Psalm 103, I want you to look starting at verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2. And it says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all. Now, it says all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. Now, you notice that word all there? How many of you believe every word in that Bible? You know what all means? It means every single one of them. Amen? All. You know, strange thing how we say that we believe every word of the Bible, but then there are so many Christians today that say, well, I believe every word in that Bible. I believe God, let God be true, every man a liar. But then when God uses words like everlasting, eternal, all, we cherry pick on the ones that we really believe that's all. Now, I'll give you an example. If I asked you right now, if I asked anybody right now, I don't care, any Christian today, regardless of what they've been taught, if I said, do you believe that all have come short of the glory of God? Most Christians would say, absolutely. Absolutely. And if I asked them, I said, do you believe that all thine iniquities have been forgiven? Now that's where they have a problem. Well, I just don't think that you could do this and be forgiven. I believe that you could lose your salvation. You see, we cherry pick the word all. If I ask most Christians today and I said, do you believe that if you die without Christ that you'll be in everlasting punishment in hell? They'll say, oh yes, absolutely. And I'll say, well, do you believe that you are guaranteed everlasting life if you receive Jesus Christ? It's like, well, not necessarily. You see, we cherry pick. We cherry pick. We'll take a word and we'll say, well, now here it means everlasting. Everlasting over here doesn't mean everlasting. No, everlasting always means everlasting. All always means all. Amen? And so it says all. All of our, he who have given all of our iniquities. Now look at verse 10. And it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why? Verse 11. Now, boy, this is a great one. This is one of the greatest verses, and it's a couple of verses in this entire Bible. If you will pay attention to verses 11 and 12 here, you should have no problems with guilt whatsoever. Here's what it says. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now I'm going to show you something. You know, in the Bible, whenever the Lord says something, he's very specific. Amen? Very specific. Notice here he did not say as far as the north is from the south. He said as far as the east is from the west. Do you know why that is? Think about this. If you are, if you're traveling from here to Canada up into the northern territories, up in Alaska, or keep on going to the North Pole, you're heading north. Amen? Now, once you get to north, where are you going to be heading?
South.
South, right? Now, let me ask you something. If you start heading east, will you ever be heading west? No. You can't find west if you're heading east, because you'll always be heading east as long as you're walking that way. Amen? But if you walk up to the north, eventually you're going to be walking south. You'll find south. That's the reason the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, it's infinite. Amen? It's absolutely infinite. In other words, as far as the east is from the west, how far is that? It's as far, I mean, it has no end. That's how far he's put your sins behind him. He's forgiven you of those things. Now, isn't it a strange thing that the Lord would put your sins and your iniquities that far behind him and forget about the fact that you've sinned and forgive you that thing, but yet we still feel guilty over it? We won't forgive ourselves. Isn't it a strange thing? I mean, think about this. We'll do something and we'll ask the person we wronged to forgive us, and then we ask God to forgive us, and we trust that he does, but yet we still have guilt over it. That's because it's the devil whispering in your ear. It's because the devil's whispering in your ear and saying, well, God really didn't put it as far as the east is from the west. God has removed our sins an indefinite distance from us as believers. Our sins have been forgiven, and God no longer looks at us as sinners. Do you know what God looks at when he sees us as Christians? He sees Jesus Christ. Why? Because we've been placed in Jesus Christ. When he looks at us, we've put on his righteousness, not our own. And so when he looks at us, he doesn't see a sinner, he sees a son. When he looks at us, he doesn't see a person of iniquity, he sees Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. Now, we still mess up. When we sin in the flesh, we still mess up. And certainly we need to make sure we're right with God on that for the sake of fellowship. But the truth of the matter is when once you ask the Lord to forgive you, they're done. The moment that you receive Jesus Christ and you said, Lord, forgive me my sins. Lord, I'm calling upon you to get me to heaven and forgive me. The Lord forgave you of all your iniquities, spiritually, all your iniquities. And since you've been saved, and then when you sin in the flesh, we want to stay in fellowship with the Lord. So we say, Lord, forgive me for what I did this week or what I did this morning. We confess that sin, and it says that he is faithful and just to cleanse us from that sin. He's always faithful and just to put that sin behind him as far as the east is from the west. But yet we still have hang-ups and saying, oh, I can't believe I did that. I can. I tell you this, there's not a sin that I see anymore that surprises me. Why? Because all of us are wicked. But when we get forgiveness, we need to let it go. And if you're feeling guilty over the sins that God forgave you, then you're choosing to believe the devil over what the Word of God says. That's what you're choosing to do. And so this morning I wanted to look at some things about this feeling guilty. And some problems with guilt. And so the first thing I want to look at this morning is the consequences of guilt. Now, guilt does have its consequences. If guilt didn't have consequences, the devil would never use guilt against us. Amen? In other words, he has a plan. The devil has he wants to get an end result. And so there are consequences that come with guilt. And certainly one of the consequences of guilt can be physical sickness. People actually make themselves sick sometimes because they've become so guilty. Another consequence of guilt is depression or feeling hopeless. Some doctors have estimated that nearly one half of the mental patients suffering from depression could be released if they had some authority that would just say, "You're forgiven for what you've done." That's certainly a consequence of guilt. Another consequence of guilt is the lack of faith. Turn, if you would, over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to be coming back to Psalm 103. But I want to show you what 1 John chapter 3 has to say about our guilt. Feeling guilty about something that you've already asked the Lord forgiveness for. I'm not talking about conviction. Listen, if you're here this morning and you have a conviction about something that you have not confessed to the Lord, you need to make it right. That's the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, you got a problem, you need to make this thing right." That's not guilt. That's conviction. I'm talking about the things that you've already gotten forgiveness for and you've already brought before the Lord and you've already confessed before the Lord, but yet you're still feeling guilty about it. And it does lead to a lack of faith. Here in 1 John chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 18. John says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In other words, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Amen. Verse 19. "And hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Now, verses 20 and 21 are given what it means to have guilt and not to have guilt. Look at verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us," that is, if we have guilt about our past sins. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." In other words, God knows more than us. God's greater than that. His knowledge is far greater than ours, and he knows that our sins have been forgiven and that they've been put away from us as far as the east is from the west. And when we suffer guilt, it's us that's forgotten this. Verse 21. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not," that is, if we're not suffering guilt, "then have we confidence toward God." You know, God is saying, when God is saying, you know, you're not guilty, Satan's saying you are guilty. But here in verse 21, it says, "If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." If you're feeling guilty over your past sins, it's not the godly thing to do. If you're feeling guilty over something you've already confessed God, there's nothing godly about that. You know, sometimes we think that it's more spiritual to feel guilty over things we've already asked for forgiveness over. And sometimes Christians will even take that guilt and try to impress others with it. You say, "What are you talking about?" Well, there are people today that are saved. So spiritually, all their sins have been forgiven. And when they messed up, other people saw them mess up, but they confessed those sins. They got right, they made it right with the person they did wrong. They confessed the sins before the Lord. And then afterwards, they go around to other Christians and saying, "Oh, I just wished I hadn't have done that years ago. Oh, I'm still sorry about that." And it's almost like they're trying to be more spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about that. If you've already confessed it before the Lord, aren't you trusting him to forgive you of it? Aren't you trusting him to be faithful, to cleanse you of it? Didn't you do what he told you to do? Then why are you parading it around? You know, we have a strange way sometimes of parading things around that we shouldn't be parading around. You know what we do? Sometimes we'll parade around the way we used to live and almost wear it almost as a badge of courage. Amen? That's what we'll do. We'll say, yeah. "I remember back in the day I used to do this and I used to do that, and boy, I used to do that. Sure, I'm glad those days are over." Mm-hmm. Why are you parading it around? Amen? I mean, that's what we do. And so sometimes we'll parade around our guilt in order to impress others. Another consequence of guilt is this. Guilt causes people to punish themselves. You know, many times I hear parents punish themselves for what their children have done, and because those parents feel guilty as though it's their fault. And in some cases it may be. But we as parents must always remember that at some point our children have to make their own decisions. And you could raise a child according to the Bible and do everything that you were supposed to do in raising that child, and maybe that child isn't going to turn out the way you want that child to turn out. You're not guaranteed that that child is going to receive Jesus Christ just because you taught them about Jesus Christ at a young age. You're not guaranteed that they're going to grow up and serve the Lord faithfully just because you raised them to do so. But there are so many parents today that are still feeling guilt because of the way their kids turned out. Let me tell you something. If you did what the Bible told you to do, there is no reason for you to feel guilty at all. Why? They have to make the choice. Now, if it were up to me and if it were up to you as parents, I would make all the choices for my kids. Amen? I mean, up until the day they died, I would. I'd still ground them, even at 65. Amen? But the truth of the matter is I can't make the choices for my kids. I can't. At some point, once they become older, they have to make their own choices. So what do, Pastor? You pray for them. You do the one thing that the Lord has been wanting you to do since day one. Turn them over to Him. That's what you do. And so, but many times we feel guilty. And sometimes we're hard on ourselves and we punish ourselves. You know, when we don't make the right choices and we sin, do you think God feels guilty for not teaching us right? Do you ever think about that? I mean, think about this. Did God tell you how to live? Did God tell you how to get saved? Did God tell you how to get rewards in heaven? Did God tell you how to treat other people? God told you all that, right? So if you're a Christian today, you're a child of God, then the Lord, and you've been reading your Bible, the Lord has been teaching you how to live right. Amen? Now, if all of a sudden, as a Christian, you put down that Bible and decide you're going to get away from the Lord and just not going to serve the Lord anymore, and many Christians do, by the way, and you make that choice, do you think God's up there feeling guilty for not teaching you right? Well, He's your Heavenly Father. You're the child. Why are you feeling guilty then as long as you taught your kids right? You see the difference? He's telling us how to be as parents. As long as you taught your children right, you have nothing to be guilty over. Nothing. No more than God has anything to feel guilty over either. Why? We all have to make our own choices. You have a choice today. Are you going to serve God or are you not going to serve God? You can't blame God if you don't serve Him. And a child today, whether they're grown or little, they can't blame mom and dad if they don't serve God. Can't do it. But that's the way we are. Guilt does that to us. We sometimes suffer guilt, and it has consequences. Another consequence is that guilt causes people to overcompensate in good works. You say, what in the world are you talking about? You know, sometimes a person will mess up, and what he'll do is he'll try to do a whole lot more to make up for the fact that he messed up. I remember when I was a young boy, if I did something that was wrong, sometimes my parents corrected me, after they corrected me, and they'd say, okay, you know, you've done it, okay, we've already taken care of it, and don't do it again. You know, sometimes I'd still have guilt, and I can still remember doing extra chores around the house in order to make up for what I did. You know, sometimes Christians are the same way. They'll mess up. They'll confess it before the Lord, but the guilt is eating them up so bad, they say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to do extra to try to work my way back into Your good graces. Listen, you're already in His good graces. You were in His good graces since the day you were saved. You're in His good graces. Yeah, you're going to mess up. And yes, as a parent, you know, if you don't confess it to Him and you decide to take a stand against the Lord, He can chasten you. Certainly He can do that. But you're in the good graces of God. Why? Because He's your parent. But sometimes when we mess up, we feel like we have to go overboard to do more here and to do more there. And Lord, I'm going to serve You more because I'm trying to work my way back into Your good graces. That's not a reason to serve God. The reason to serve God is because you love Him. Not to try to make up for something you already asked for forgiveness over. But we miss that. I'll tell you something, folks. When it comes to overcompensating, I've learned something. Usually whenever a Christian is overcompensating on something, it's either he has guilt or he's hiding something. I'll give you an example. I've known families. In fact, I knew a family that years ago that they had a hang-up about a certain thing. And it was like their soapbox. You ever met somebody that just had a soapbox that, I mean, they had a thing. I mean, there's, like for instance, this particular person's soapbox was video games, okay? And I'm not going to get into the rights or wrongs of that. I'm just saying that this person's hang-up was on video games. And this person was so hung up on video games that whenever we would go out and we'd start witnessing to people, rather than talking about being saved, this person would say, you know, I'm from so and such church, and you know, and we believe this. Tell me what you believe about video games. We're out trying to win people to the Lord. I mean, well, regardless of how you feel about it, don't you think that's kind of small potatoes when somebody may be dying and going to hell? And so what do? They everything come back to it, and everything. I mean, they were so focused on that's all they could talk about. What turned out that we found out later on, there was another part of their life that they weren't right in. That they didn't. I mean, they were way off in, and they knew it. So what they did is they pushed this other thing to try to equal it all out. I'll tell you something, folks, that happens a lot. A lot of times we'll overcompensate. And guilt's one of the things that will make us overcompensate. We try to work our way back into the good graces of God. But we're not supposed to do that. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Those are just some of the consequences of guilt. But then I want you to see also the principles for handling guilt. Remember, unless we take care of this guilt, we're going to have a hard time overcoming this problem that we have with a certain sin. Why? Because all we're going to think about is the guilt and not how to fix it. All we're going to think about is being guilty over it and kicking ourselves and beating up ourselves over it, that we never really get the victory in it. Listen, there's more to it than just, I mean, once you've already confessed it, then you move on and trust the Lord to give you the victory, like we learned last week, and trust in His power to give you the victory, rather than sitting there and just wallowing in your pity that you can't get over this sin and having this guilt. You got to go out and do what the Bible tells you to do. And so certainly there are steps in handling that guilt. And if you'll do these three steps, you'll be able to overcome that guilt. First of all, when you have a guilty conscience over something that you've asked forgiveness for, a good thing to do is to write that sin down. Now, don't let other people see it, okay? But write down that sin on a piece of paper. And after you write it down, confess that sin before the Lord. And then line through that thing and put down a date. You say, how's that help? It reminds you that you've been forgiven. In fact, if you want to, you can line through it and write down Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west. That's a good thing to do. I've learned a long time ago that if you start to write something down, you can go a long ways. That's the reason to this day, whenever I lead somebody to the Lord, I always give them a little Bible. And in the back page of the Bible, you know where you have the white pages? I'll write down that person's name. I'll write down the date, that date, and then I'll write down 1 John 5:13. These things I write unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And I tell them, that's your birth certificate. You were born again today, and every time that you start to doubt your salvation, you read 1 John 5:13. And I tell you what, I've had people come right back and talk to me and say, you know what, that was one of the greatest things, because I doubt it all the time, but every time I open that Bible, I look at it, and I see that God's Word tells me that I can't lose it. Amen? Sometimes it helps to write things down. I'll tell you another thing, a second step to take, and that is, in order to overcome your guilt, is that realize that God's remedy for sin is complete in Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." He's saying this, when he saved you, he forgave you of every one of your sins, all of them. And may I tell you that when Jesus Christ forgives you, Now that means something. When the priest down the street forgives you, it doesn't mean a thing. Not a thing. Why? He doesn't have the authority to forgive me of anything. He's a sinner himself. That's called a hypocrite. Not a savior. But Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive me. Why? Because he's without sin. And when he forgives me, it means something. And for us to feel guilt over our sins because, you know, and after we've already confessed it to the one who has the authority. Our problem is, folks, is sometimes we don't recognize the authority of Jesus Christ. We don't recognize it. That's the reason why you have people today believe they can lose their salvation, because they don't understand the authority behind the seal of a king. You have been sealed until the day of redemption. It was the king that sealed you. Don't you understand his authority? The only one who can break that seal is the king. But we don't understand that authority. We don't take that authority. We take that authority for granted. When it comes to somebody forgiving you, the king is the one that's forgiven you. Do you realize that if you went back way back when there were monarchs all over the earth and there were kings, don't you understand that the word of a king has authority? That when he says it, it's done. If he says this, off of that man's head, then off it'd come. He had absolute authority, right? If the king says, I'll pardon you, then you've been pardoned, and it doesn't matter how you feel about it. Why? You don't have the authority. He does. Amen? Do you realize the king is the one that forgave you of all sins? And us walking around guilty. Why is that? You don't recognize the authority of the king? God's remedy for sin is complete in Jesus Christ. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must remember that God does not find it hard to forgive. He never regrets giving you another chance. Let me ask you something, parents. Did you ever regret giving your child another chance? Did you ever regret saying you're forgiven? God doesn't forget. He doesn't regret it either. What do we want? We just want our kids to do right. We want our kids to do what we tell them to do. And when they mess up, we know they're going to mess up. They're kids. Amen? I mean, show me a kid that doesn't mess up. We know they're going to mess up. But when they do, and they say, you know what? If you're like me, you're a softy. And I'm really a softy when it comes to my daughter. I mean, she's got me wrapped clean around her finger. But you know, whenever she messes up, she knows exactly what and when to say. And she'll walk up there, and she'll get close. She'll say, I love you, Daddy. And I'm trying to act mad. You know. And she goes, and then she'll say, Daddy, I'm sorry. Now let me tell you something. When she says that, I just break and say, okay, you're good. Amen? Don't you know the Lord feels the same way? Don't you understand that? Don't you understand that when you mess up, the Lord knows you're going to mess up. You're a kid. You're a kid of his. But when you mess up and you come up and you draw close to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. Don't you know he's just sitting there saying, yes, you're forgiven. I was just waiting for you to say it. No reason to feel guilty after that. No reason to feel guilty. Why? The king just forgiven you. The father just forgave you. Amen? We got to get over this guilt thing, folks. We start to, again, we think too highly of ourselves. We think it's all about us. It's not. It's about the father. But that's the devil trying to stop you from being productive for the Lord. I remember one time here a few years back, a dear preacher friend of mine, he's actually a pastor in Catskill, New York now. And he told me once that if I ever got too hard on myself and started getting down on myself about guilt over confessed sin, this is exactly what he told me. In fact, at the time I had a Bible that had more of a burgundy color on it, and I still have that Bible at home. And he said, here's what I want you to do. He goes, if you ever start to feel guilty about a sin that you've committed, that you've already asked for forgiveness over, and he goes, and you will, He goes, I want you to write down Psalm 103 in your right there in the back of your Bible. And so I did. And he goes, if you're still guilty after reading Psalm 103, he said, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to read Psalm 103 again. That's good advice. In Psalm 103, look if you would, starting at verse 14. It says this, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. I'd say it's pretty good advice. You know what that chapter is telling me? That the Lord already knows me better than I know myself. And his mercy is just sitting there poised to give it to me. His mercy and his grace. I tell you this, folks. We serve a great and merciful God, and gracious God. And when he forgives completely. So write down those things on a piece of paper. Step one, realize that God's remedy for sin is complete. Step two, and then we need to make sure that we all also heal our personal relationships as well. In other words, if you've wronged somebody, you need to make it right with them. Not just, I mean, we want to make it right with the Lord, but what we sometimes do is this. If we wrong somebody, we'll ask the Lord for forgiveness, but we won't ask that person for forgiveness. Now, here's what the Bible says in Matthew 5:23-24. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You know what that's saying? That's saying that if you do somebody wrong, yes, you do need to confess it before the Lord, but the Lord expects you to make it right with that person too. And if you can't get right with that person, now you say, you know what, the problem is this. We don't see God, so it's easier for us to pray and ask for forgiveness of God rather than walking up to the person we did wrong, looking them in the eye and saying, I'm sorry. It's hard for us to do that, but we have to do that. If you're ever going to get past this guilt, you have to do that. And so these are just some of the ways that we can get past it. Folks, we have to get past the guilt before we can ever get victory over that one sin that so easily besets us. We have to get past. In other words, we got to get away from the past and start focusing on the author and finisher of our faith, forgetting the past. If you've already asked for forgiveness for that sin, it is as far as the east is from the west, as far as God's concerned. And if as far as the east is from the west, as far as God's concerned, what in the world are you doing still feeling guilty over it? Don't listen to the devil. Listen to God.